We live in a world that's kind of crazy these days. I don't know, there doesn't seem to be any shortage of bad news that we hear. You know, the economic stress that so many people are experiencing, you know, the continuing war in Ukraine and Russia, and the Israeli-Iranian conflict that is about to explode or could ignite into a World War III situation. You know, our economy is in trouble domestically as we see the amount of debt our nation is accumulating, even though the mainstream media will continually say that the economy is great, it's doing fantastic, and they point to a roaring stock market. You know, our national debt, totally out of control, and the central government is finding it harder and harder to finance its operation and domestic programs, and it's having to turn to printing money since it's having a hard time borrowing more money from foreign countries. This in turn, by printing the money, causes the price of oil and other commodities to go up, and then they blame the manufacturers for the inflation, which is not the case. State governments as well, they are struggling because of their endless programs that they have and the multitude of the entitlements that they give out. And states, you know, are not entitled to print their own money, so they don't. So they have to raise taxes on their citizens. And the world problems seem insurmountable at times. You know, when we face these issues, we may wonder, what is God's purpose in all of this? Yet we read in Romans 8 verse 28, you see all these problems going on in the world. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We quote this scripture often when we go through hard times. Sometimes we wonder, how can this trial that is affecting me, how are these things that are happening in the world that are affecting me, work toward anything that's good? We ask that question maybe. It seems that when one problem is solved, that we are faced with another. Once that problem is solved, then we're faced with another. Yet God in his infinite wisdom knows what he is doing and what he wants from us in our life. The last half of the verse stresses the importance of loving God and realize that we are called according to his purpose. You know, he has a purpose for our calling. He has a place and a position of responsibility in his family, in his future government, that he wants us to fulfill. Paul was saying that God knew us beforehand. So if you just hold your scripture finger here, I'm not going to make you turn over to Ephesians 1 verse 4, but Paul states that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. If you stop and think about that for a moment, it's quite incredible. It kind of blows your mind. Each of us, you know, had two parents. We had four grandparents. We had eight great-grandparents. We had 16 great-great-grandparents. And for each preceding generation, that would double. 32, 64, 128, 512, 256, 512. So that by the 10th generation going back, there would have been 1,024 people in our prior. If you think about it, it's just incredible. And yet God knew us from the foundation of the world. So he had to bring all those people, for thousands of people, for generations and generations together in order for us to be here today. Because he knew us. He didn't know somebody else. Looking back in Romans 8 and verse 29, for whom he foreknew. What does it mean to foreknow? The Webster Dictionary states, to have previous knowledge of, know beforehand, especially by paranormal means or by revelation, to have previous knowledge of, know beforehand, especially by revelation. So God knew us beforehand. It's hard for us as humans to comprehend this. You know, we tend to want to limit God, maybe, thinking that how is that possible that God knew us before the foundation of the world? But he did. He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. What does predestined mean? Webster says it is to destine, decree, determine, appoint, or settle beforehand. What does it mean to be conformed? Webster's again, to give the same shape, outline, or contour to, bring into harmony or accord. Paul is saying that God knew us beforehand, before we were born, and what he determined that he was going to bring us into his family to be in harmony or accord with his firstborn son. You know, Jesus Christ is the firstborn, and we are his younger brothers and sisters in the future family of God. I just want to stop for a second and say that, you know, my little lousy joke at the very beginning about the bride side and the groom side, I mean, I think everybody's on this side today. This is the locals over here. I didn't want to offend anybody on the groom side. Anyway, let's continue in verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. That is where we find ourselves today. We are called according to his purpose and his will. Continuing in verse 30, whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What does Paul mean by justified? Webster says to judge, regard, or treat as righteous and worthy of salvation those whom God just judges as righteous, he will also glorify. It's interesting to note that Paul used the past tense in this verse. Predestined, called, justified, and glorified. In God's mind, this has been accomplished. Let's continue in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, it doesn't matter who is against us. No matter what people say or do to us, it will not make any difference to God's purpose for us. Continuing in verse 32, he, meaning God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him, Christ, up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ, also freely give us all things? Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? You know, who can make a false accusation against us? It's Satan and others who will accuse us falsely for things which we may or may not have committed. Continuing in verse 33, it is God who justifies. And in verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us. It is God who judges and treats us as righteous because Jesus Christ is at his right hand and intercedes for us daily through his sacrifice. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Who shall separate us? Nobody's going to separate us from God. The only thing that could separate us from God is us. You know, yes, there was a lot of bad news back when Paul wrote this to the Roman Christians. They were severely persecuted for their beliefs. Continuing in verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We win in the end through him, through Christ who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And like I said, the only thing that can separate us from God is us, and that is if we give up and quit. Nothing else can separate us from God. No war, no economic distress that may be in the world today. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, for Christ says, Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. You know, we are to hold fast to our crown. You know, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He has called us from the foundation of the world. He has picked us out. He knew that we would have brown hair, blue eyes, or something else, blonde hair, green eyes, red hair, blue eyes, whatever. He knew us from the foundation of the world, and we should not limit him. He has reserved a place at the wedding table with your name on it in the coming kingdom of God. We will be there. He has called us from the foundation of the world before time began.